This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final hour here on VSiN Prime Time alongside Will Hill. I am Doug Kazarian, downtown Las Vegas at the lovely Circa Resort and Casino. Earlier in the show, there's 9 baseball games going on. I was a little overwhelmed, got to be honest. Now we've trimmed the fat a little bit. Some drama unfolding, perhaps, in a few places, and then the Royals have busted it open. The Astros have come back, so good for them. And the lowly Angels may not score again until, like, the weekend. And anything jump out to you in terms of the live lines for you?
No, I'm 2-0 on the night. I'm okay with where I'm at so far. I've lost a little, I got to be honest, Doug, final hour here. I've lost a little interest in these baseball games. So I wanted to bring up a different topic before we get up to the baseball. I can't find my AirPod case. What is, if you had a top 3 list of things you lose, keys, AirPods, AirPod case, what is number one or some of the top things on your things of things you lose? Because it's driving me crazy. I just saw it 15, 20 minutes ago. I don't know where it could have gone. It's like sometimes these things crawl away. What is number one on things you lose far more often than you should?
Money? No. I'm trying to money on baseball games tonight. No, I don't have. See, okay. I'm a bachelor, and I have a very, like, simple sort of existence. I work from home mostly. Yeah. I don't have a lot of that stuff. I have AirPods, and I actually went for a run outside the other night and used it. But usually I'm, like, listening on speaker at home, around the house, things like that.
Yeah.
I can't think of something that comes
to mind.
So
you're buttoned up.
Well.
So you're buttoned up. You don't lose anything.
I play home games. You know, it's like a very easy sort of rotation of things. I have my cell phone is all I need to really worry about.
And you don't lose your phone. Okay. I mean, phone would be a good one, but I don't lose the phone. I'm too attached to the phone to lose that. But I just, this damn AirPod case I put in the, it's just,
But was I had a mailbox key in the area, and I moved that to above the fireplace mantle. So that's in an easier spot for me to remember where to go. The one, I'll tell you what I forget. Yeah. So I have water, big water bottle delivery. Like I have a machine and everything. And I sometimes forget, even though I change the order of like every few weeks, whatever they drop off, I forget to put the empties out. So I have a lot of empties in the garage right now. That's the one thing that gets
I think
me.
That's forgivable.
Yeah, I forget. I forget to do that because it's not every week like trash and stuff. So that's the one that burns me a lot. It's like, oh, I forgot to put the empties out.
I mean, that whole like you empty asking. Water bottle, I mean, that's more interesting than A's, Royals trailing, or Royals leading 9-5 here.
Yeah, so I could have used, I had over, the over last night. Congrats. So I could have used this last
night. There you
night.
Go.
Didn't get there last night. So Rockies are threatening
Washington
against Sasaki.
3-0 on Texas.
Our game of the night, right? So 4-0 Dodgers in the fourth, but the Rockies have two on in scoring position with one out. So maybe trying to get back into this game, although Kyle Freeland had to leave with injury. Anything interesting for you here in this game, in our game of the night?
It's just amazing. The Dodgers, you could be, sick, limping. You've got all these different ailments. You know what the doctor, he takes out his pen, he takes out his notepad, and he just writes you a little prescription. Here's Coors Field. Go play the Rockies, and everything will be okay. Mookie Betts hits homers. Oh. Your pitchers look better. You score a million runs, although a ball just got over the left fielder's head. I don't know if that should have been caught. Yes. Could have been caught. It looks it like Hernandez, but it's going to be 4-2. But again, what's the live line on Colorado? Let me ask you, without looking at the line, it's 4-2 Dodgers, bottom of the fourth. Colorado has a man on second. What number would you need on Colorado right now to play the money line?
Plus $3.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't even play it. I would need $4.50.
I'd probably need $4 or $5.
Yeah. That was a horrendous play by Hernandez. He ran in and then
not good.
The defense in baseball really, like some of these guys, like just let stuff go. They misplay everything. It's like maybe I just didn't watch as much baseball in the past, and then I didn't notice.
No, I think you're right.
But some of this stuff, and then the not running it out is that's besides. I just shocked at some of that.
Well, a lot of people in baseball will say it's become more of a showcase sport where you're 15, 16, 17. If you want to get noticed, if you want to get drafted, it's about power. It's about velocity. You go to these showcases, you throw 95, you get drafted, you get looked at. You hit the ball 400 feet, you get noticed. Where, I mean, not to, again, not that you and I are 70 years old, but when you and I were growing up, you know what? You're outside, you're playing wiffle ball, you're playing baseball, and you learn how to play the game. You play baseball. It's not just a showcase. You actually play the game and you learn how to play defense and you learn how to run the bases and you learn the nuances of the game. I don't know. It's more of a showcase sport now where power gets you drafted. I hit the ball 450 feet. I'm going to get noticed. I'm going to get drafted. I throw the ball 95. I'm going to get noticed. I'm going to get drafted. Where going first to third on a single, reading the, you know, the arc of the ball on a line drive, you know, cutting the runner down, just the intricacies of the sport, I think is something, it's been a lost art.
Yeah, some of these throws from the outfield are just like, are you kidding me? That guy's a big leaguer making that throw?
I know.
Like halfway up the third base line and then bouncing.
I know.
It's just miraculous. But yeah, you don't walk off the island, as the cliche was saying. By the way, week zero of college football is almost here, and with the NFL regular season right behind it, now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides, packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. And I'm fired up for actual football to start because preseason, you said you've been getting into. I understand why people don't, because it's a lot of homework. It's a lot of research for only 3 weeks of games. You're only get it's kind of like the World Cup, Will. Like, you have to learn all this stuff because it's a different animal than the NFL regular season, right? And then you only get a little bit of return because it's only 3 weeks of games.
If you follow the right accounts and you're on top of it, you're paying attention, you're going to get ahead of the line movement. And if you're so inclined, you could just play back on the other side. If you do your homework, if you do your due diligence, it's pretty, I don't want to say it's easy because nothing's easy to win. There's, you know, the line moves last week didn't do well, but preseason is good for the better. The books are on their heels. They don't know who's playing. We have as much information as they do, and you can kind of get ahead of it. So I love the preseason from a betting standpoint. I wish it was more, but I can certainly understand if, you know what, I got a real job. I don't want to put in the work. I don't want to put in the time, but if you're doing the work, you're on top of it. You can get ahead of the line moves. Now, does that guarantee it's going to get home? It does not, but I've always really liked betting on the preseason.
What about all this crazy stuff with the dogs barking and the unders hitting? Like, how have the line moves been proven to be, like, obviously a determining factor? Have you been, because some of this, like, I know a lot of people are on the Browns money line last week. They got dusted. So right. Obviously, as I said before, I don't have tomorrow's newspaper. So, you know, I don't blame if you got ahead of the curve and you don't win. But did it treat you well, I guess, last week?
Last week was good.
Okay,
and
good.
Again, a lot of it is, you know, the Patriots. Mike Vrabel announces Drake May will not play and the starters won't play. And just, you know, as a tip, the quarterback is usually a proxy for the rest of the offense. If Drake May is not going to play, the offensive line is probably not going to play.
Right.
If Drake May is going to play, the offensive line probably is going to play. So, like Patriots Colts, you could take the Colts plus +2 on Monday afternoon. Vrabel announces May's not going to play. The line moves. Colts are laying +3. You could take the Patriots plus +3, and you could be sitting on both sides of the game plus points. I get it. If you got a real job and a real life, it's hard to just sit there and manage Twitter and be on, you know, following the beat writers. But if you're on top of it, you can get some good line movements. Now, it's the age old debate, Doug, of I get a good number. I got 3 or 4 points of CLV. Do I just let it fly?
Right,
I play back on the other side? I'm usually play back on the other side just because, I mean, it's the preseason. Who the hell knows? And I want a chance to kind of free roll zero, you know, risk zero bets to win two bets, that kind of thing. But if you do your homework, you can certainly be on the right side of it.
All right, let's pivot real quickly to the NBA trade. But I think the biggest takeaway is, what is Nikola Jokic going to say to the management in Denver? They trade in a three-way deal, Peyton Watson, with a little sign-and-trade. Clippers get Max Strus, and the Cavs give up Strus to them in order to get Peyton Watson, who could be really blossom into an elite like wingman sort of 3 and D guy. And who knows if he's like a Mikal Bridges type of player in the making, one of those situations. But Cleveland gets an unprotected first round pick in 2031. Who cares? You have Nikola Jokic on your roster now. So here's the tweet from Shams. I just don't get it. And this is why LeBron wanted to hold leverage when his contracts with Cleveland and the teams after that, because he wants to force these owners to stop being cheap. And this looks like a money move for Denver.
If David Stern were still alive and still the commissioner, we could probably Photoshop those LA Laker jerseys on Nikola Jokic right now, and those would look pretty good in a year or two. I mean, where is, I'll ask you, just point blank, Nikola Jokic 2 years from now is on what team?
Yeah, I don't know the depth of his connection and friendship with Luka, but I remember talking to my friend.
On offense. Can you imagine?
I remember talking to my friend back then. I was like, hey, they have all these pieces. I was like, you know, there's a world where they can get Dwight Howard and Chris Paul with Kobe. And they're like, okay, should we also give him Michael Jordan? And I'm like, it's not that crazy. And I was like, the going rate for a superstar is X, Y, and Z. I was like, the Lakers. And then sure enough, they could have had all that at some point if the, you know, trade didn't get rescinded for Chris Paul. But I don't know. I don't like Jokic is a unique cat. So I just don't know if he's going to follow the path of so many other superstars who've wanted to switch teams and end up in LA. How about you?
Answer the question. What team is he on 2 years from now? Come on.
Let's go Lakers.
Give me an answer.
Let's go Lakers. Why not?
I'm with you.
I don't know.
Jokic and Luka, let's sign for it right now.
Lakers certainly care. We'll see. See if they're what's happening with their ownership, too. But straight ahead, David Bierman's going to join us, my former ESPN colleague. We're going to talk some golf for the coming weekend. Also, some NFL futures. Any fun, sort of good prices out there to pick up? He's Will Hill. I'm Doug Kazarian. This is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not a ton of interesting baseball games left, but there are a couple, including our game of the night at Coors Field. Rockies got two in the fourth, so now we're bottom five. Dodgers lead cut in half, 4-2. They lead. Kyle Freeland, by the way, left with an injury out there at Coors Field. Sasaki still pitching for the Blue Crew. Another game that has some playoff implications. Angels and Astros. Houston was trailing 2-0, now lead 3-2, bottom six, and they have a runner on with one out. And the Mariners and Brewers, after losing 22-0 last night, Seattle jumps on Milwaukee, 7-0. It's now 7-3 in the eighth. So the Mariners, with a bounce back, could be outscored 25-7 in 2 days, but still be 1-1 in those two games. And the Nats, 6-0 over the Rangers, cruising along there. Nats playing some decent Cavallis, almost threw a no-hitter in his last start, pitched well tonight as well. So we'll table the baseball talk for now and bring in David Bierman, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, weekly guest here on VSiN Primetime, usually talking golf and football. What do you have for us tonight, my friend?
Well, we're going to start with the golf, Doug. We're down to two events left on the PGA Tour, the BMW this week outside of St. Louis, and Tour Championship next week. We're down to the nitty-gritty right now in golf, and this is an event where you look at Scottie Scheffler last week, runs away and wins by 8 shots. And probably has a better chance this week because this course outside St. Louis is tailor-made for him. It's you know, it's long, but it also has some dog legs, which means you can't necessarily drive it too far. You need long irons. Well, Scottie Scheffler, one of the best drivers, one of the best long irons. And oh, by the way, he put together the best putting tournament of his career last week. So he's right there, the front runner. It's too short of a price to me, 3-1 plus 280. I'm going to keep drilling down, Doug, on what I do, and I take him in the top five market. We got a good price last week at even money. Of course, that's long gone this week. It opened at about 164 is where I got it. All he's done is record a top five in 12 of the last 18 events, including five of his last six events. Leads the tour in almost every notable category, including shots gained and tee to green, and now he's third in putting after last week. The longer layout helps him, and he absolutely could win all three events. It's just very hard to play him at that low number.
All right, David, we're getting to the point in the football, you know, content cycle where everybody has an opinion on something. You've basically heard everybody's opinion on you know, all these different teams. What is the one thing you've heard over the last month, couple months, as we're getting ready for football season, where you say, you know what, I disagree. I have a contrarian take on this team, either for better or for worse here. when we're looking at NFL?
I think one of them is the San Francisco 49ers. They obviously were beaten up last year with the injury bug, and they still went ahead and won 12 games and were, you know, made the playoffs in the NFC West. They think that's going to happen again, and I'm just not there with them. I'm down on them every year, and obviously I ate crow last year. I just think the injuries pile up time and time again, and you're already starting it in the preseason. The division is tough. The schedule is tough. Now you got the Super Bowl favorites in the division as well as the Super Bowl champions. I'm just not as high on the San Francisco 49ers other teams are. Now, I've been wrong before with them. They could go ahead and Shanahan could put together another 10-11 win season. You still got Brock Purdy. You still got Christian McCaffrey. Not sure who you're going to throw the ball to. I know some of the rookies have looked good in camp, but the injuries pile up and the yardage and the tires are piling up on McCaffrey, and they're not as deep, and that really good defense that's carried them is even older this year, and they lost some pieces. So it's just not a team I'm very high on this year.
All right. One team that, you know, in the NFL, we talk about the parity and the worst to first, all that stuff. Well, the Lions are a chic pick, considered obviously very good last year, derailed by injuries. And even Dan Campbell was calling plays midseason because they had to get rid of that situation. They're a chic pick for this year, have a high win total, all things considered, and what's expected to be a competitive division. When you look at the quote-unquote long shot, Vikings are only 5-1 odds, give or take. How are you approaching this Lions season?
Yeah, I mean, this defense is going to be the most competitive in football. As you mentioned, all four teams had 9 wins or more last year, and the Lions, via the tiebreakers, finished last. And I've gone on air and said I'm not a big fan of the saying first place schedule, last place schedule, because overall you're talking about a 3-game difference throughout the division. But in this case, it is a big difference. The Lions do have the 4th/last place schedule, and with that, you're facing Arizona, Tennessee, and the Giants as your extra 3 games instead of Seattle, Pittsburgh, and Philly, who the top of the division will play in. Last year it was the Chicago Bears. So that's a big difference. You add in the fact that they get the AFC East, which is Dolphins, Jets. You got to go to Buffalo, but you get New England at home. And then you're playing the NFC South, which also should be 3 wins, going against the Carolina, New Orleans, Atlantas of the world. So you're looking at, in my estimation, 9 wins, Doug, before you even get to the division play. And this number's at 10.5 at -120 juiced. I really like the over here. It's only $1.50 to take them as the favorite to win the NFC North. It is a tight division, but I do think the Lions are the cream of the crop in the division. They'll go right back to where they were. And keep in mind, they won 15 games 2 years ago. So yes, right, 9 was an offseason for them. I'd only expect 15, but with this schedule, I could see them winning 12 easily.
All right, David, I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not still in college, but I was a freshman in high school the last time your Miami Dolphins won a NFL playoff game. What do you expect from the Dolphins? I know our buddy Chris Massaro has made the case. Caleb Douglas, 151 Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's the only target. Willis might look for him. Just a big picture thoughts here on your Fins Up team.
I think if you read between the lines with what this new front office has done in terms of the way they drafted, the way they've structured the contracts where they took the young guys and gave them long-term deals and then signed a whole bunch of free agents to one-year contracts, sort of like you do with AAA players in baseball, this is a team that's not playing for 2026. If you read between the lines, the roster's being built for the future. So you asked about 2026. I don't have a lot of expectations for this team. I would lean over 3.5, but I would run to the window to bet the under 4.5 because I'm not sure you can find 5 wins on this schedule, but I do think they'll win 4 games. You still got the Jets twice. You open with the Raiders. There are some winnable games on there. You know, the Colts don't scare me as much. You have a couple of other matchups on there that I think they can win. And if there's anything that I've seen so far out of the new head coach, Jeff Hatley, I think this team's going to play tough for him. It's not a clown show that Mike McDaniel had out there where everybody was laughing and making jokes. They're actually playing really hard. It takes you back to the Brian Flores days, and even though that ended poorly, you still had a team that played hard for him. They're playing hard for him now in practice for everything I've read, and I think they'll steal a win or two somewhere on the schedule, and of course you got the Jets and other teams. I have them down at 4-13. You just got to eat it and realize they're playing for next year. They'll get another high draft pick. I like Douglas. He's done very, very well. not ready to go play offensive rookie of the year on him just yet, because I think the offense is going to be miserable in general. And just because you get 80 catches on a team that scores 20 points a game doesn't really do it for me. So I'm looking at 4 wins. I wouldn't really draft anybody but the running back in Devon Achane in fantasy. Maybe Douglas has a late round flyer. I think the defense will be good. You're looking at a lot of low scoring games for the Dolphins this year.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what to think of Malik Willis, because he's not just a predictable quarterback. He could be, like, really good and competitive, and I don't know. Like, I feel like every year there's a team that everyone's just like, oh, they're not going to win a game and stuff. It was like the Patriots a couple years ago with Mayo as the head coach. Last year was the Saints, and they only turned things around because they switched quarterbacks, but they still did switch things around. I'm not, like, for example, in week 1 at the Raiders, like, the Raiders might be a trendy survivor pick, just to trying to get cute and you know, save the Chargers, whoever the other options are. I'm not convinced the Raiders are winning that game. Are you?
Nope. Not at all. And you know, you read stuff like the USA Today, not to shame them, but calling the Dolphins a one-win team. Like, okay, so you just took all of the schedules, you went through them all, and you took the team that was favored. Fine. Then the Dolphins go 1-16. They're not going to win one game. They're going to win 4, 5, maybe even 6 games. They could beat the Raiders week 1. That doesn't mean they're the better team. That just means that they're a team that will play above what people expect them to do. And sure, no, I'm not looking at the playoffs. I'm not expecting this team to surprise the heck out of us and make a run. But I do think they have enough one-year veteran guys who are playing for the next contract on the Dolphins or another team, because that's what the Dolphins have done. They went young. They cut a whole bunch of veterans. And then they signed one-year deals and said, prove it. So you're going to have a lot of prove-it players out there, which is going to translate to a couple of wins. But at the end of the day, they're just not. There's just not talent on that team. As far as Malik Willis is concerned, I'm happy they have him. Do I think he's the quarterback of the future? Probably not. But I think in the stopgap of the next couple of years, him going out there and playing for what will be his next deal will be something that'll help them out.
Fair point. I agree with basically everything you said. Like, just because they're underdogs going into games doesn't mean they're guaranteed to lose. And some of these other teams, especially in September, we just don't know exactly what's going to happen with a lot of these teams. There's always carnage early on in Survivor, so be careful out there. Not that I think there's a lot of great plays to be made in Survivor week 1, but it's still the Raiders and that putrid defense, and they're going to have some growing pains even with the new head coach, all things considered. All right, David, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate the time. I know it's late there on the East Coast. Appreciate the insight and all the feedback.
Absolutely, guys. Enjoy.
You got it, bud. And that's the
thanks,
David Bierman. Go check him out as well. He also contributes to Sportsline and his Betting with Bierman podcast. He is Will Hill. I am Doug Kazarian. We are rolling on here on VSiN Primetime. A few games coming down to the wire. Got a live total, Coors Field. Dare I say, I want to bet under. I'll explain straight ahead.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tomorrow, VSiN is on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football-style snake draft hosted by Dustin Sweetelson, and every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, and stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round 2, joined by 3 newcomers stepping into the Futures draft room for the first time. Super Bowl winning wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, comedian and commentator Nick Bakay, and the guru John Hansen. Don't just watch the Futures draft, profit from it. Tune in tomorrow at 5 Eastern only on VSiN, the sports betting network. And I'm excited because, Will, I would never in my life want to watch a fantasy draft, but a futures draft, I would, because the analysis is something I can piggyback and tail for the upcoming season for my own portfolio. So this is really good content and a fun way to kind of mix things up during the week.
We're a betting network. We should have odds on who's going to win. I mean, we've got plenty of options here. Let's somebody post a board, a prediction market, you know, somebody somewhere. Yeah. I want a little skin in the game here.
You can do it. We're not in the draft. We can bet each other, right?
No, but I want options. I want numbers on everybody. Okay. Give me a number on Dave Ross. Give me a number on Jensen.
Okay.
Gil, Stormy, JVT. I want a number on everyone, and I want to pick off some value. So I would imagine Dave and Jensen, we separate them, right? These are like Siamese twins. We separate them at birth. Even if you host a show together, Mitch and Paulie, you're not together on this, right? You're separate, I would imagine. I think that's how it goes.
I'm not familiar with the rules, but I do want to let our audience know, for those who are not familiar with the whole futures draft, basically, if you, the first pick, instead of taking, I don't know, McCaffrey or Bijan Robinson, instead, you're drafting your favorite future on the board with the odds. So it could be an 8-1 to, you know, make the playoffs or something, an 8-1 to win the offensive player of the year, whatever it is. And then at the end of the season, who had the best bets in terms of the units won, and then there's your winner of the fantasy league. So
it's fun.
Just a draft of futures. You can't take the same future twice. I mean, that's the draft component, right? So if two people like Mahomes to win MVP or comeback player of the year, first person to draft it, it's off the board, that wager.
I think you could, and you probably appreciate this as somebody who likes to, you know, game the system, a little game theory.
Sure.
You could repeat teams, though. Let's just say, you know what? I'm going to shove with the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to be good this year. And you know what? Whether I finish third, sixth, eighth, last, what difference does it make? I'll go Cowboys to win the NFC. I'll go Cowboys to win the division. I'll go Cowboys over the win total. I'll go Cowboys alternate. Well, you get the idea. So I think you could do that where you could just shove with one team. And obviously it's correlated. And if you're right on the Cowboys, you got a good chance to finish first and win it. And if you don't, you know what? You probably weren't going to win anyway. So I think from a game theory, not to give away secrets here, because I'm sure these people know this anyway. But I think from a game theory standpoint, there's no, you can't take the same bet multiple times.
Right.
But you can bet a derivative of that bet.
Correlated.
Exactly. If you were on the clock right now, hey, Doug, you're on the clock. Best bet. We're doing this draft. You're invited. We had to bump Tim Murray. What would your best bet be?
It's a minus 120 wager, but I really don't understand it. I think it's like two wins off on the win total, but it's the Falcons under 7.5 wins. Like, I think it should be 5.5.
Oh, wow.
Like they might be like 2-9, 2-10 at one point. Like their schedule's ridiculously difficult.
I was high on them coming in.
Yeah.
It's high relative would just be like, you know what? Maybe you could win this with 9 games and they're plus 450 or whatever it was. I thought that was too long. I get it, though. Tua didn't look good. Tua never looks good. And Jalon Walker's hurt. Pierce is suspended, which, hey, he deserved to be suspended. I get it. Sort of a cousin of this, though, Doug. Arizona under. How does that team with that schedule get to 5 wins? And you could tell me they've got offensive personnel, which they do.
They do.
Love, which, I don't know why you're giving him 14 touches in the preseason in one game. That's beyond me, but Love is going to be a big-time back. Trey McBride and Michael Wilson and Harrison, even though Harrison's been disappointed. You got some offensive personnel, but look at that schedule. That's about as tough as any schedule I've ever seen. Their defense might be the worst in the league. Chargers, Seahawks, 49ers, Giants, Lions, Rams, Broncos, Cowboys, Seahawks, Rams, Chiefs. It's not like it's tough and then it lets up in week 6. It's tough and then it stays tough. All right, the last like quarter of the schedule is manageable, but man, Arizona, even though you got to lay a little juice it under 4.5, if you get to 5 wins, you can have my money. I don't see how that team wins 5 games.
You know what's funny is they started 2-0 last year. Did you remember that?
And they were a drop pass away from being 3-0.
Oh, that's right.
And that was a team a lot of people liked. They had a first down that would have sealed the game. The guy dropped it. They punted it back. Mac Jones started, went right down the field. I think it was a field goal to win it. And then they lost a bunch of close games, including DeMarcado. At Green Bay and at Indy. And then the last quarter of the season, they were just downright bad. They had so many injuries on the defense. They were, basically not an NFL team, but they were a trendy team. I think this time last year, if you ask most people at VSiN, most people, hey, who's going to be better, Arizona or Seattle? I think it would have been 70-30, 80-20 to Arizona. Nobody was really high on Seattle, and a lot of people liked Arizona.
Okay. I found a wager today I might have fallen in love with.
All right.
Okay. What's your opinion on the Broncos? Like, are they going to regress? I mean, I don't think they're going to win the one seed in the AFC at 14-3, but why is everyone just assuming they're all of a sudden going to be like not good?
I mean, people look at Knicks and he's not Mahomes. He's not Allen.
No,
he's not, pick your top 3, top 5 quarterback.
Right. But they added Waddle. They added Waddle. And they still have really good defense. And Sean Payton's not going to ask him to call plays to make him, where he's going to need Mahomes. just going to need him to be Bo Nix. And Bo Nix is allowed to get better, you know? He's allowed to have a full...
Yes.
You know, I know he's coming off injury and didn't have the traditional offseason, but he's allowed to improve as well.
I mean, just top of my head, 10 wins, 11 wins, a playoff team. Probably not like, you know, winning the Super Bowl, going to it, but a solid playoff team.
Can they win the division?
I like the Chargers, although I got to admit the Chargers already offensive line issues. The center's hurt. Sounds like Slater is dealing with some ramifications from last year. Seems like it's always something with the Chargers. So if you want to tell me, hey, you got to move the Chargers down, you got to move somebody up, I can understand the Broncos. How are you playing Denver, though?
Well,
is it over the wins?
Tell you,
is it futures? What's your play?
How do you like Herbert getting engaged? Does that factor into your handicapping at all?
I'd like getting engaged if I was him. I've seen the pictures of Madison Beer.
I'm just saying, like, he's like frolicking at practice with her and stuff. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I try not to get into it. Yeah. I get it.
It's not a net positive. It could be a net zero, but not a net positive. So last year, Nix threw for 3,900 yards, 3,950 passing yards. His over-under this year is 3,450, okay? And their division odds are plus 220 to win the AFC West. You can do a combo special, Broncos to win the division, and Nix over 4,000 yards at 8-1, plus 800.
Okay.
So it takes basically goes
I made worse bets.
Yeah, they're normally plus 220. Exactly. I've made worse. They go from normally plus 220. If you add, and those are correlated. Like, I think winning the division, Nix is going to have some passing yards, kind of like last year, right? You can't just be smash mouth all the time. So I think Peyton's also like got an ego. He's going to want to flex a little bit.
I think
8-1.
He does?
Yeah, I think those correlated, which should be like 5 or 6-1.
I agree. Let's just forget betting, forget odds for a second. Doug Kazarian's yearly paycheck is on the line, and you make plenty of money. So this is a lot of money we're talking. Who wins the division? Forget the odds, forget everything else. Life on the line, paycheck on the line. The AFC West winner is who?
I would pick the Chiefs. I think their schedule's a little bit easier.
Not crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a big believer in Andy Reid. People forget he like went to the playoffs with like Kevin Cobb and Jeff Garcia and all these years. I mean, he's been... It's not just Mahomes. And obviously, he's better with Mahomes. Chargers, I think, could be a late bloomer. Like, I think Harbaugh is such a good coach. And I think Peyton's a very good play caller. I didn't love his fourth down stupidity last year with, you know, the backup and everything. I think the Chiefs win the division. I do. And I'm starting to come around on the Raiders under 5.5.
I thought that was defensible going for it. At the time, Stidham was moving the ball. Obviously, in hindsight, get the 2-score lead. I thought that was 50-50, but if you want to tell me, hey, just take the points, you got to back the quarterback.
Even if you get the first down, you're still on the 20-yard line. That's the problem.
Correct.
It doesn't, the risk reward's not there.
It felt like
you're still kicking a field goal anyway.
It felt like the 14th was the death punch, the death blow. And they were moving the ball, and you know what? It was only a yard. We're moving it. Let's just get it. And the way New England wasn't moving the ball, if you go up 14-0, you're probably headed to the Super Bowl against Seattle for a rematch. But, I get it. I can certainly understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, and I love how at the post-game interview, he didn't even know what yard line it was. He's like, what was it, like the 12? And he's like, no, it was 22-yard line. We're going to talk more about this because I want to ask you your football thoughts in terms of your best bets and some of these others, because I think there's some really good specials out there in the wagering market. So we'll continue to roll on. Dodgers remain 4-2. That's bottom six, two out. They've gone to the bullpen to replace Sasaki. So far, the LA pen doing its job, and so is actually the Colorado bullpen replacing an injured Kyle Freeland. This is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Home stretch here on VSiN Primetime before we hand the show over, the studio over, to the very capable hands of Dustin Sweetelson for 3 hours of cashing out. He's got a stacked lineup as usual, so Will and I are going to hold down the fort for 15 more minutes before Dustin Sweetelson takes over. Lot going on. Obviously, in the diamond, we're continuing. Remember, I like the under in that game at Coors Field. Couple big crooked numbers, and then it's been pretty quiet the rest of the way, all things considered. So,
did you get in?
I did. I'm at 10. So So it's now, the live line's now 9.5. So
there you go.
It's up in the
key. Living large.
By the way, college football season is almost here, and betting it blind is a losing strategy. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide free with VSiN Pro. It has previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. And it really is comprehensive. Even if you're not betting futures, it just sets the table and gets you ready for the entire season. And there's so much movement, we know, with the portal and then the coaches on the move and just everything going on. It really is great breakdown across the board. And it's very helpful, as it feels like I'm cramming for an exam with the college football regular season about 10 days away, Will.
Everyone who buys it again. Nobody ever buys it and says, you know what, I want my money back.
Right.
I'm not going to buy it next year. Once you buy it once, you're going to buy it forever. And if nothing else, just buy it so we don't have to keep reading these ads. You don't want to listen to us read these ads time after time after time. Buy it. We'll leave you alone. You leave us alone. You know what? You have the guide, and then we just move forward. Enough. Buy it. What are you waiting for?
Ransom. As Will's played, it's a ransom note. No, it really is good stuff. And it's fun to revisit, too. It's also like, oh, this guy, you know, liked this. Why, you know, that's interesting.
Yes.
And then it gives you sort of, it lets you handicap the handicapper.
If you're betting year round, you would do that. I do that. The NFL offseason starts, what, January? Coaches change.
Right,
February,
right.
Coaches get hired. The draft is in March. We are betting college basketball, conference tournaments, March Madness, NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball. I mean, by the time you come around to football, you need a refresher because you've gone through two or three different sports, different cycles where you forget what free agent signs, what coaches are on, you know, where. I mean, I have those all the time, handicapping and watching the preseason. Oh, I forgot this guy's on that team. I forgot this quarterback is still in the league. I forgot, you know, all these different things. It just happened so long ago when you're watching all these different sports.
Right. And just, you know, it's hard to be an expert in everything. I appreciate it. I glean wisdom from other people. I aggregate and certainly can, you know, I appreciate anybody who puts in work, anyone who's academic about it, nerds out a little bit. I can just absorb and be a sponge. So I appreciate the comprehensive approach this entire guide did. So it's a really good, just useful tool, like I said, even if you're not a bettor. So, Will, we're winding down the baseball card. It's still 4-2, top 7 now, 2 outs. Freeman in the box for the Dodgers, and he's 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts. So I don't know if I've ever seen him get the golden sombrero here. So we'll keep an eye on that. He is a professional.
Where
hitter.
Was that in the 2024 World Series? Is somebody who's a Yankee fan and had Yankees 12-1 to win the World Series? He hits the ball of Nestor Cortez to the absolute moon. I mean, where was this? I didn't need 0-for-3 with 3 Ks. Just needed one pop out, but
I know. I forget that the Yanks had the lead, right? It was 2 outs and they had a 1-run lead.
In the 10th and in the 8th, like all those, and then in the game 5, you're going to get me going. In game 5, they're up 5-0 in the 5th. Oh, all of those things had to go wrong.
I blame the defense for that.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Have you taken a look at tomorrow's baseball card?
That would have been, yeah, that we'll get to tomorrow's baseball card. That would have been one. Yankees were down 3-0. They had a chance to go to L.A. for game 6. Who knows? Once you get there, you're one win away from forcing a game 7.
Yeah,
let's get to tomorrow's card.
I have a question for you because I was heavy
over it.
We'll turn the page. I was heavy on the Guardians today, and they lost 1-0 to the lowly Giants. What do you do if you like the same bet tomorrow? Guardians run line. I think the offense. See, yesterday the offense pounded them, so maybe they're a little overconfident today. I think they'll be ready to rock. Now they're facing Landon Roop, who has movement on his ball, but like I think they'll be ready. And Gavin Williams is a strong pitcher against this AAA lineup for the Giants. So I think I might have to go back to the run line for the Guardians here.
What's the line in old school? Roop-a-loop, bring your green hat. I don't know. It would be under nothing for me. I can't lay any sort of price or any run line with an offense as Inconsistent is a nice word for Cleveland. I can't lay a run in half. I can't lay a big price. I would look towards the under. Gavin Williams, you look at the stats, traditional, underlying, he's about as good as anyone in the American League. I haven't looked at the updated Cy Young numbers, but man, he's got a profile that can win a Cy Young one day.
Right.
Swing and miss stuff, the velocity, he is very impressive. So maybe Cleveland does bounce back. I'm looking at, boy, one of these books has first three unders up already. Under 1.5 in the first three. That's a no for me. That's too thin of a margin. I'll give you one I like, though. I'll go back to the well. You know what? I'm going to keep betting it till it hurts me. Yankees under 8 with Bradish going against Cole. They can't hit. They can pitch. The Yankees have been just an under cash cow the last couple weeks here and broken record with it. But you know what? If it's not broke, don't break it. Don't fix it. Whatever the saying is, Yankees under is a play for me until it isn't.
Yeah, I can't fault you there. I will say though, Cole is not like lights out. He always has like one or two bad innings where he gives up two runs.
Pretty good though.
He's good for like 6 innings, 2 earned, not 6 innings shut out. I mean, you don't get this like ridiculous stat line very often.
All right, but the Yankees aren't scoring. So if it's like 2-1 after 6 or 2-2 after 6 and you got under 8, and I'm just checking here, yeah, under 8, DraftKings under 8, and you only have to lay $1.03. So there's a little pressure on that under 8, Doug, where maybe, you know, you shop around, you have enough outs, prediction markets, whatever it is, you can get it 8.5, even if you have to lay a little more juice. It's just, you can't go wrong these days with the Yankees in this neutered lineup and this elite pitching staff playing their unders. Their unders have just been the way to go.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Nerfy too. Like that's an option too, because they can't hit. But then Grisham's been good. I get a little nervous with the Nerfy. I'd rather have more innings like you've been doing with the game total. By the way, Freeman ripped one to right on a full count off the scoreboard. So it's a double. So no Golden Sombrero. 2 outs, runner in scoring position for Mookie Betts, who already got off the schneid a little bit with a home run earlier in the game. And the live total is 9. So we'll keep an eye on what happens here. That's obviously an influential at bat, and I've never heard of this pitcher Frazzo, but he's been really good out of the bullpen so far. And Mookie just grounded it to short, and we actually have a throw that didn't bounce. What's with the bouncing like this stuff? But the scoops have been amazing. I will say the first baseman scoop, but anyway, he's out of the inning. We're through 6.5. But as much as I don't get the bouncing throws when the feet are set, I will say these first basemen have been scooping stuff like it's, you know, walking and chewing gum. I mean, it's so easy for them.
I've probably seen this guy pitch in person because as a Connecticut native, I have to ask you, and I love the ballpark, Duncan Park in Hartford, Connecticut, the home of the AA Rockies, which is the Hartford Yard Goats, one of the greater ballparks you're ever going to go to. Have you ever been to Duncan Park in Hartford?
I have not. It's one of my regrets.
Come on.
I know. I didn't go out, you know, just have a beer and a dog and watch some baseball. I just never made it out there because, you know, I went to Yankee Stadium in Fenway Park when I was out there instead. You know what's actually like embarrassing? I never made it to Saratoga. Bad.
Yeah. There's a charm about minor league baseball where I don't know. It's just part of Americana where it just makes you feel good. You go to the games, like you said, have a beer, have a hot dog. You see these guys before anyone's ever heard of them. And there is a fun aspect to these minor league games.
My first TV job, I worked in Quad Cities and I covered the Quad City River Bandits. It was the year the Twins took Maurer number one. So it was Joe Maurer, Romero, Durbin. They had a bunch of studs all at like 18 and 19 years old. So it was fun to cover. But you're right. It's the charm. Speaking of charm, you are a very charming individual. We just made it 4 hours, Will. I didn't win. I went 0-4 on the VSiN picks page. Did win my smallest bet on the day. So that was a first quarter in the Lynx game. But yeah, just a tough one with the Guardians and then a WNBA play.
Small sample. It happens. Yeah. I had a good night, but you know what? I've been certainly had my nights where I've had the collar and just you get them the next day. It's like the Brewers and Mariners. It's 22-0. You lose, you wake up, you get it the next day and just kind of wash it and move on. So
live total.
You're betting enough of these. You're going to have these 0-3, 0-4s.
Yeah. And maybe this live total of the Coors Field under 10 gets on because we're now at 8.5 on the live
there
market.
You go.
Hey, up next is Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson. Tonight, Eric Cohen brings his best bets for week 0. Tomorrow, VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis kicks things off at 7 a.m. Eastern, followed by a numbers game with Gil Alexander at 10 a.m. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He is Will Hill. I am Doug Kazarian. We so very much appreciate your time tonight, and stay tuned for Dustin Sweetelson with a Cashing Out. This has been VSiN Primetime.